Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome, everybody. Don't forget our voter guide at KFIAM640.com. If you have some things you'd like to consult with us about, you'll see our picks, all the statewide ballot measures, a lot of the races, and of course, some local races, including the LA City Mayor's race. And a brand new poll that came out this week from the Southern California News Group does have Rick Caruso ahead of Karen Bass by 3 percentage points among likely voters.
Roughly 40-37 with 23% undecided. That's a big difference than what the LA Times was selling about a month ago. And Rick Caruso is here. Rick.
Hello, John. Hello, Ken. How are you?
How are you doing?
We're good.
You must be feeling good after that poll came out yesterday, huh? Is that what you're feeling on the campaign, that people have been warming up more and more to your message?
Well, I think what's happening, yeah, I do feel good. I feel great, actually. And I'm all over the city every day, from the top to the bottom of it. And what I am hearing is people are more focused now on the election. We're getting close. We're 19 days away. And so I think that's being reflected in the polls. And they're agreeing with my message. Listen, everybody's living the same problems in this city, so it's they're looking for solutions to it now and tired of excuses.
Yeah, that's what's interesting about this election, because usually it's, 10 different boutique issues that different groups have. But this homeless and the crime is something that everybody is dealing with and experiencing. And what I have noticed with some of the people who are not hostile to your candidacy but skeptical is they say something along the lines of, yeah, we've heard a lot of guys say that they're going to take care of homelessness and build this and build that. And I was wondering if you could explain, like, some of the details of your plan. You don't have to get into the weeds too much, but, you know, how do you start about giving shelter to 30,000 people? Like, who do you contact? Where do you go? The departments, the vendors? Like, what's the vision in your head to actually execute this? Because I think people need to see it in their mind's eye in some way.
Yeah, and I completely understand that. You start out by being a builder, which I am, and knowing how to build, knowing how to get through the entitlement process, the permits. You know, I've been building in my private life, my company, for 35 years. And if you don't know how to build, you'll never solve the housing and the homeless problem. And so it starts there. Declare a state of emergency. All your great listeners can go on to CarusoCan.com and read a very detailed plan. But state of emergency, so we bring the authority into the mayor's office. I want to be held accountable. Right now it's broken up between 15 different council districts. What I know we can't do is do what we've been doing. We're spending $1 billion a year in this city of taxpayer money, and the problem continues to get worse. We have over 44,000 people living on the streets, and we've got around 13,000 that are women. They're going to go to sleep on the streets tonight. It's terrible. It's inhumane what's happened. There's multiple ways to build shelter and housing very quickly. There's actually, I'm having a press conference Saturday at the corner of Ventura and Havenhurst at a shopping center with a boxable unit that can get built in costing only $60,000. One is made off an assembly line every 90 minutes. It's about 400 square feet, and it's amazing. It has a bedroom, living room, kitchen, bathroom, big windows. There's a decency and a dignity to moving in there, which I believe we have to give the homeless. And while they're treated, we need to have the proper treatments for psychiatric care, drug addiction care. And there's programs out there, John and Ken, that are working, like People's Concern, Downtown Women's Center, and we need to build upon those. We don't need more bureaucracy. We need to build upon what's working. So I've got a detailed plan. It's going to be a tough job, but I've got the proven experience to do it, and I will do it.
I've seen that boxable unit online, what you just described, the $60,000.
Yeah.
$400. I've seen those online. I don't know if it's the same company, but it does look like a fascinating way to address the problem because they can make them so quickly.
It's an amazing way to address the problem. And again, it's got the space and it provides some dignity. Listen, however and why somebody ends up on the streets, we need to deal with it, right? And we're not going to deal with it in the conventional ways that our career politicians have been dealing with it. And we've had, 10 years of Eric Garcetti and everything's gotten worse. And Karen Bass has represented the city of L.A. in Congress for over 10 years. And it just continues to get worse. How she thinks she's got the answers right now doesn't make any sense because she doesn't.
One of the nuttiest things I saw in coverage on the homeless situation was city officials complaining that they couldn't navigate through their own permit system, that they couldn't get stuff built fast enough because of their own rules. And I would be screaming, at the screen saying, well, then change the rules.
But you know what? This is another great example of the system is broken. It's not only broken, it's obviously full of corruption, which we've seen. And that's why the problems continue to get worse and nothing happens. And going around this city every day for the last 6 months and talking to people, really people are fed up with the excuses. And you got to cut through it. You have to have leadership. You have to have courage. And let's go get it done. It can be done. And have a person that got managerial experience and some business experience to cut through this stuff. A career politician's never going to do it. We know that. We've had that.
What are you going to do with the city council? The place is obviously a disaster right now. We all know the stories.
Yeah.
They have a lot of control. I mean, they're going to be your partners the whole way. How are you going to approach that whole body?
Well, listen, this is what leadership's about, and having a lot of experience in being a leader and managing very complex organizations. I managed as chair USC, and, I had 60 fellow trustees to work with. I did it at LAPD with fellow commissioners. And turned LAPD around. Same with DWP. I've worked for three mayors. I understand how City Hall works. I also understand how it fails, and it's failing now. The City Council, they need a mayor that provides some leadership and stability and guidance. I can do that. Again, I've got the experience in doing that. There's no doubt they need a lot of help. We've got to get the two other council members that were part of this discussion to resign and start doing the business of the city. We've got a lot to get done.
All right. Can you hang on? We'll do another segment.
Yeah.
All right. It's Rick Caruso. He's running for L.A. mayor, and he's winning by 3 points in the polls over Karen Bass.
All right. Also, when we come back, you'll have a chance to win with our keyword for the inflation bonus money, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
And we continue with Rick Caruso, who's running for mayor. leading the polls by 3 points over Karen Bass as of this week.
Yeah, Rick, the other big issue, obviously, on people's minds in Los Angeles is crime. I'm sure you're hearing that as you campaign around the city. What's your perspective on what's brought us to this? We have Prop 47, we have the no bail movement, we have George Gascon, we have defund the police. All of these things, any of these things, where are you going on this?
Well, it's all of those things. And again, it goes back to lack of leadership and doing what's right for the residents of Los Angeles, right? And so we're down about 800 officers. And we've got crime, you know, murder rate is up 50%. Hate incidents are up 200%. I mean, it's really terrible what's happened in our great city. And people just don't feel safe in their communities and their neighborhoods. So I've got a very detailed plan. You know, years ago, as you know, under Jim Hahn, I was a president of the police commission. And I hired Bill Bratton, and with my fellow commissioners and Bill, we dropped crime by 30%. We instituted community policing. We got to do that again, respect the communities we serve, bring senior lead officers back. But my plan is to hire 1,500 officers. And we have to let officers actually do their job. I mean, obviously hold them accountable. That's the only way you can have good policing and build trust. But we have to actually allow them to do their work and hold the criminals accountable also. And we will start preventing and reducing crime in this city. I promise it. I've done that before. Karen Bass has never been responsible for LAPD or any police department. And she frankly doesn't know what she's doing on it. And her plan doesn't make any sense. But we need more officers on the street, well-trained, good officers.
Do you know, or do you have a sense, that the police officers have been told in a lot of cases to stand down? Because many people who've called us on the show say they've called LAPD. Let's say they have a screaming homeless person on the front lawn doing, you know, unspeakable things, yelling all kinds of insanity. They call the police and they say, right, I'm sorry, our hands are tied. Tell Garcetti, tell your councilman. And repeatedly, we hear that same phrase, which makes me think there is an official order or an unwritten order just not to respond anymore.
Well, listen, you're absolutely right. And I experienced it. I rode Metro with a young mother, Cassandra, who wanted me to experience what Metro was like, which, by the way, is horrifying, dirty, filthy, full of encampments. But I ran into three officers and I asked them, I said, why does it look like this? And they said, we are not allowed to enforce the rules. And I said, does that come out in roll call in the morning? And they said, absolutely, yes. So we've got leadership of our city that has directed the cops to stand down. The cops are frustrated. They're demoralized. We've got a lot of police that are retiring now. And we've got to stop that and turn it around and get people to stay, but also rebuild it through the academy. And we're having a tough time recruiting, because if you're a man or a woman that wants to serve and protect in the best of ways, why would you want a job in L.A. where you're not allowed to do your job?
You know, just
so I can change that. We got to change the culture.
Just on my block in the last week, there was a break-in seven homes from me. The guys sat in a fake Amazon truck, and they watched a couple leave. On a Friday morning, they were going down to Del Mar, where they have a weekend getaway. And then they watched a housekeeper leave. And then they waited. And then they stormed in the place. And for an hour, they ransacked the place. And it's all on video, Ring video. Or they were never caught, of course. They jumped in and they got away. And then the same week, you know, people have hired private security cars to drive around. And the security guys found an expensive car parked on the street. It was stolen. And it had a GoPro in it. Somewhere on the windshield, and it was recording the comings and goings of everybody in the neighborhood, and presumably the bad guys were watching a video feed of the GoPro so they could see who was leaving, what time they were leaving, and then they were casing the neighborhood and they were going to break in once they got a pattern, and that was really scary.
That's really scary. I mean, it just goes to show you the sophistication of what's going on out there and what can happen when you don't have a police force able and ready to do their job because of a lack of staffing. But things are even worse than that. You know, Christy Vega, who owns Casa Vega out in the valley, you know, it's been in business for 60 years now, owned by the daughter, Christy, a woman-owned business, Latina-owned business. One of her employees was getting off the bus. I was out there the other day. She was telling me the story. Was stabbed. Was, thank God, okay, stabbed in the stomach. Called the police. The police said, is the person still there? It was a homeless person. They said, no, he took off. And they said, well, file a report online. Now, that's a stabbing.
Yeah.
So we've got to change the direction of the city. It just, we've got to change the leadership, the culture, and the system is just really has imploded. And just to, you know, bottom line it, Karen Bass is a product of the system. When you're a product of a broken system, it's impossible to change the system. And it's going to need to have an outsider that isn't beholden to anybody, that is just going to make the decisions of doing what's right for the residents of L.A. Because there's some really tough decisions that the mayor is going to have to make to reset the course of the city. And we got to do it.
What is your relationship with her from the past? Because it's been said that you two have been friends. How have you known each other?
Well, we've known each other just through political circles and, you know, being active in L.A. She's represented the city for 20 years. You know, so we've crossed paths. And that's how we know each other. She called me before she announced her run and, you know, was curious on what I was going to do. And I said there was a high likelihood I was going to do it, but I hadn't made my final decision yet. But, you know, so we've known each other. And she's a legislator. You know, and that's her skill set. But the legislative skills, we've seen that in City Hall for the last 10 years, and everybody knows where we're at. It's not the right skill set to lead a city, especially one as complex and large as L.A.
A lot of coverage dealing with both of you and your connections to USC. Do you feel she still has some questions to answer about her scholarship?
Absolutely she does. I mean, the federal prosecutors are very clear that she never applied, never reported the $95,000. And on the debate, you know, she said she'll show her application. And what she gave was a one-page unsigned piece of paper that is a request to sit in a class with no intention of getting a degree. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't remember any scholarship program or any master's program where your application is one page.
I wish I knew it was that easy. I would have saved a lot of money with my kids.
Yeah, but you know what's even worse than that? And clearly she's not telling the truth. What's even worse than that is she took a scholarship from somebody that was deserving. Somebody, I just left a family today down in South L.A. The daughter is on a scholarship that my wife and I provide. We provide hundreds of scholarships. This one is through Operation Progress. The family is at or below the poverty line. They collect and sell trash to make the ends meet. Beautiful, incredible family. The daughter is on a scholarship going to out at Riverside. A woman like that should have had a $95,000 scholarship to USC, not a highly paid member of Congress. And that's really bad.
Yeah, it makes a lot of people really angry, and it should. Rick, I want to thank you for coming on. No, you got more? Please.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for the opportunity. I love talking to both of you. Keep up.
And I hope we can talk to you again before Election Day. And good luck. And every day we tell people to vote for you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Rick Caruso, businessman, and of course, on the ballot to be the next mayor of L.A. Part of me wanted to just ask him, would you really want that job? We got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Be interesting to talk to him a year from now if he wins.
Yeah, really.
If you're just tuning in, we had Rick Caruso on for the last half hour. And if you want to hear him, we've got the John and Ken podcast that you can access on the iHeartRadio app later on.
We invited Karen Bass. We have not heard back. We did. We wanted to be, you know, even-handed.
Oh, I'd love to talk to her.
She's a very nice lady, actually. She does come off. You said that once. She does come off very pleasant.
Yes, she seems publicly very pleasant.
Yeah.
has a nice smile and all. But she has no real passion or interest in the two overwhelming issues. And that's the homelessness and the crime. It's just not something that she's devoted
to. No,
much
in
time
fact,
to.
She's campaigning with Kamala Harris on abortion.
Yeah, now,
it's just like, that's now, just not relevant.
What possibly could the mayor of Los Angeles have to do with abortion?
They just think it drives turnout.
I don't care. But I think of the practical nature of this.
Of course.
We got 40,000.
But you know what? This must work because they've been doing it for decades. All politicians, especially on the Democrat side, campaign on this.
Well, it's...
Even if they're irrelevant to actually changing the issue. So it must work. I can only conclude that.
Well...
Did they do research and find out? Well, it does push a few people to vote.
Well, it changes the subject because most of the Democrats don't want to run on the economy and inflation. So what
right
you do
now,
is you
especially,
change,
yeah.
Yeah, you change the subject. I don't know. The last poll I saw is the economy and inflation was top issue for 45% of the public and abortion for 4% of the public. And I'm just guessing that 4% was voting Democrat anyway. I don't think there's any new converts there.
But they may not vote. They may just sit it out until you push them with it. Because that's what they care about, that 4%. A tight race. She's down 3 points. There you go.
It seems like there's a much bigger ocean with the 44%. But when it's your economy and you cause the inflation, I guess you don't want to bring that up. LA mayor's got nothing to do with that abortion issue.
We want to tell you that the Moist Line is tomorrow, so we're still collecting calls. You can either do it through the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon, or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. After 5 o'clock, a candidate on your ballot for Attorney General, Nathan Hochman, will join us. He's the Republican. His opponent is the incumbent, Rob Bonta, who was appointed to that position by Gavin Newsom when Kamala Harris became... Well, Kamala Harris went to the Senate, but
Hochman
that.
Is an excellent candidate to be attorney general. And he's exactly what attorney generals are supposed to be.
He is. He's got a prosecutor background, and he knows his stuff.
You hear him talk, you read what he says, you look what he's done, and that's exactly the kind of attorney general you want in a normal, rational world, which I understand.
Whereas Rob Bonta just came from the legislature, and that's about it.
Yeah, he's a goof.
Longtime assembly hack, and... we're waiting for a verdict in the story out of UCLA. James Heaps was a gynecologist-oncologist there for 35 years. But just a few years back, it came to light from the claims of a number of women that during his examinations, he may have been sexually molesting them. So more than 500 lawsuits came out of this eventually, settled for a big bundle of money. But this is the criminal case. And we got the word about an hour ago that this jury did reach a verdict. It's expected to be announced this afternoon, I would imagine before 5 o'clock, because everybody probably wants to go home. They're just trying to probably assemble everybody because they were at this for a while. And in fact, they had to replace a couple of jurors with alternates because of situations going on. So when that comes out, we'll let you know. From the Me Too movement, John.
Yes.
Guess who was was found not liable in a civil case? Kevin Spacey, the actor. This decision came down today in Manhattan.
I saw that. This was the case from a guy who claimed doing it when he was 14 that Spacey did unpleasant things to his body.
This is actor Anthony Rapp. This happened in the 1980s because today Rapp is 50, Spacey's 63. It was a 3-week trial. The civil lawsuit was looking for $40 million in damages, but the jury concluded, I guess, more likely than not, right? That's how it goes in a civil case, that Spacey did not molest Anthony Rapp. I remember when he went public with this claim after the whole Me Too movement and a whole bunch of other men.
I think he was the first one, yeah.
He was the first one to accuse Spacey of something like this?
I see, or one of the very early ones, and the real like horror of it is that he claimed he was 14 when this terrible thing happened. And
supposedly some sort of a party, and the claim Rapp is that Kevin Spacey, Rapp went because he was 14. He went into a back bedroom to nap, I guess he was there. He was a child actor, and that Spacey came in and laid on top of him.
When you're accused of something like this, the two alternate stories are either it never happened or it was consensual. Now, with that kid being 14, consensual doesn't fly. So all you're left with was it never happened. And I wasn't paying attention to the trial. But I'd be curious, like, why the jury didn't believe this guy and why they basically said, hey, more likely than not, it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's how they felt. Both of them took the stand, and both of them told their stories. But
which means they're implying that the 50-year-old is so crazy, he actually pushed this 36-year-old incident into a 3-week-long trial, and he was making it up?
He claims that Spacey picked him up and briefly laid on top of him on a bed in his apartment. And this would be Spacey's apartment. He testified he wriggled out and fled, only to find a drunk Spacey at the door, ask him if he was sure you want to leave.
Was that the extent of it, just laying on top?
I think that was kind of the extent of it, yes. I guess it was a full out.
Yeah, I guess that's another option then. It's like, well, that's not much.
So Spacey's attorney says it's possible that Rapp invented this because he had appeared in a play called Precious Sons, in which actor Ed Harris picked up Rapp's character and lays on top of him, mistaking him briefly for his wife. That was a good one to put in there for the jury, wasn't it?
Well, it does make you wonder, because some actors are kind of crazy and they kind of blur reality and fiction in their heads. Or maybe it was a dream he had.
Yeah, I mean, this is 1986.
I mean, I've had dreams of all kinds of people being on top of me, and it seemed real at the time.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
People being on top of you?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody we know?
People I know.
Well, I know some of the people you know. I will not give up.
Well, no, it wasn't you.
Somebody large? Is it a... sexual, or is it kind of just trying to,
well,
you
what
know,
do you think?
Like you do in grade school,
no,
you have to
no.
say uncle.
It was, you know, I guess fantasy dreams.
Oh, okay. All right. You know what else we're going to do next
hour?
What's that?
What did you think it would be?
I don't know. I've never had a dream that someone's laying on top of me. I couldn't figure it out. I have really bizarre dreams, but that's never one of them. Deborah Mark, you?
No, I have not.
No, yeah, that's. No. Could you breathe, John? Is that what it was? It woke you up because you couldn't breathe? Or?
I want to know.
You got good Biden audio there.
You don't want to get inside my mind.
We don't.
Especially in the middle of the night.
Old Joe's been on a tear. I call him the snapping turtle because there's several stories where he snapped at a reporter.
Oh, I want to hear these clips.
Asking him about abortion, asking him why nobody wants him to campaign with them.
Yeah.
He got testy today, yesterday.
Bad mood.
All right, we got that and more. And, of course, Nathan Hochman will be our guest after 5 o'clock, the candidate for California Attorney General. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
We had Rick Russo on earlier in the hour, and if you missed it, you could hear it on our podcast, John and Ken Podcast, on the iHeartRadio app as well. And coming up in a few minutes after 5 o'clock, Nathan Hochman, who is the Republican candidate for California Attorney General against the incumbent Rob Bonta.
Yes, and we'll go to Bidenville. Joe was snapping at reporters in the last 24 hours. Snap, snap, snap. Not liking it. We'll get to that. We're also expecting a verdict in the UCLA, the former UCLA gynecologist James Heaps trial, where a number of women, there's a criminal case against him, accused him of sexually molesting them during the course of their examinations. From the fentanyl front, wow, a couple of stories. They grabbed thousands of suspected fentanyl pills hidden in candy boxes at LAX. Someone tried to go through security screening with what looked like boxes of Whoppers or Skittles and Sweet Tarts. Instead, there was fentanyl pills inside. Happy Halloween.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, exactly.
12,000 pills seized.
How scary is Halloween now, huh?
I guess they figured the scanner would just, you know, Sweet Tarts, fentanyl.
How did they pick it up?
I guess you make fun of them, but whoever was at the scanner didn't think it looked like a Whopper.
It couldn't be the guy at the scanner.
Well, who else would?
I don't know if they're just on alert, if they've got special agents on alert for this sort of thing now.
Yeah, or maybe it says here.
Because so much of it resembles candy.
It does. I mean, look at the picture. I mean, it looks like they were of different colors, the pills. I don't know.
Rainbow colors. I mean, they look like they look like sweet tarts to me. The photos that I've
seen. Sweet tarts would be a good one to disguise a drug. I mean, Whopper, because it's a chocolate coating. It's like a, I don't know if that would work. And Skittles. Yeah. I think Skittles,
honestly,
too.
Honestly, if you're a parent, what do you do?
I don't know that this was a Halloween thing.
No, but I'm thinking about Halloween. This is the first time I've seen a deadly drug being marketed in huge amounts like ordinary candy, like the candy you'd get on
Halloween.
I think
that was just to smuggle it in. You really think it was to, disperse it somehow as pretending it's candy?
Well, maybe that's
because fentanyl, you can make good money. You want to hand it out like candy. You see the picture of the Whopper's box. It's a bunch of blue pills inside.
No, I know. It's not that the cartels would do it, but, you know, a mistake could happen or there could be some, dark, evil psycho who might want to hand it out to the kids.
I thought you thought that was largely urban legend.
Oh, no. I think weird stuff happens.
No, the razor blade and the apple and the...
Yeah, I mean, most of that didn't pan out, but it bothers me. It's just a visceral thing. It bothers me to see the fentanyl look like sweet tarts, knowing that's the kind of candy that you get in a bag. And there's just so many psychos now around. I mean, there's literally tens of thousands of psychos wandering around. So it's the whole atmosphere, the whole world bothers me right now.
The suspected trafficker fled but has been identified. Okay, I guess they know where to find him or... So they tried to go through security with all the fentanyl pills, and when they got caught, they ran off. How easy was that? Meanwhile, in Northern California, San Joaquin County, a place called Concow? I don't know. Concow.
Never heard of that.
Against the cow? The parents of a toddler. It's a two-year-old. He apparently ingested fentanyl. They took him to the local hospital. They said to the hospital workers, he was in the care of someone else. And we don't know what he took into his mouth. Well, because the kid was acting lethargic.
Yeah, maybe it looked like candy.
Showed signs of opioid poisoning.
Hey, guys, we have a breaking news.
Yes.
So James Heaps, the former UCLA gynecologist, he has been convicted of 5 counts and acquitted of 7. That just came over now. We just got confirmation. So that's what has been released as of now.
Oh, that's good news.
Yes.
I guess 5 counts is still a lot of prison time, I would imagine.
I'm not sure.
It's like weird. I wonder if they believe some of the women didn't believe others. I don't know what.
Well, Corbin Carson, he is going to be, he'll have a report coming up. So hopefully he'll have all that info.
He'll have more detail. All
exactly.
Right. That's the Dr. James Heaps, the former UCLA gynecologist, oncologist.
Good. He's going to go to prison too.
I would think if he's convicted, yes. I'm sure they'll appeal because he got not guilties on some of them, but we'd have to learn what the breakout is and all the charges. The hint in this story, by the way, they got a search warrant and they found some fentanyl in the parents' car. They found meth in the home. And here is, of course, the big part. The home is a trailer.
Oh, so it was just in the air there. Because, you know, if they had some fentanyl powder just laying on the table... You know, just a few grains. If the kid got it in his system, then.
Now you told me it can kill you.
Yeah. Two.
A lot of people survive overdosing. So what? They're not taking enough in.
There's a dose the body can stand, but it's a very, very small amount. I mean, they use fentanyl in hospital settings.
For
pain killing purposes, but it's a micro amount.
Yeah,
and when you're just casually, and the problem with the candies or the pills, right? They're made to look like other pills, and you don't know how much fentanyl is in a single pill because these drug cartel guys are mixing the batches in trailers,
right?
And they've got a lot of powder that eventually they'll mold into a tablet, but how many grains of fentanyl? You want a little bit so you. You know, the customer gets a nice high off it. But if they're just, you know, mixing, sloshing around large quantities of powders, you're going to get fentanyl pills that are overloaded.
All right. When we return, our guest will be a man by the name of Nathan Hochman. He would like to be the next Attorney General of the state of California. He's the Republican candidate on your ballot. And of course, you'll be hearing more about the jury verdict in the case of James Heaps, the former gynecologist, oncologist at UCLA, who was charged with sex abuse. Johnny Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.